Turning this morning to the prophet Isaiah, the prophet Isaiah chapter 1. If I may read just one verse from that chapter, a well-known verse. It is a text of the gospel. It is a text for your soul. If you are still outside the kingdom of God, this is your warrant this morning. It is the warrant for your soul. It is the warrant for your life. It is also a promise. It is a wonderful verse. I cannot tell you all about it, but it is really penetrating, and it tells us so much. Isaiah chapter 1, verse 18. Come now, and let us reason together, said the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. So my subject is God appeals to sinners. God is calling all sinners. He is reasoning with us. Are you a reasonable person? So this is really the verse we should consider for the lapse of time we have before us this morning. Isaiah, just a few words. Isaiah is the evangelistic prophet. Isaiah is the longest prophetic book of the Old Testament. Isaiah is the prince of preachers, but he is also the prince of prophets. He prophesied 700 years before the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so many prophecies. And whatever he has prophesied about the Lord Jesus Christ has come to happen. And what still remains to happen will certainly happen when Christ comes back. And he will come back. It is a certainty. It is interesting that even his name, the name Isaiah, fits very well his message. The name Isaiah means God alone is the Savior. God alone saves, no one else, no one else. God alone. And Isaiah prophesied in his life. Many believe he died over 90 years old. But his prophecy, his ministry was under four kings. It is one of the longest ministries. And he preached the gospel and exercised his prophetical ministry for over 60 years. And he's certainly a prophet to consider. But I won't go any further in words of presentation about the prophet Isaiah. But you come to this chapter, Isaiah chapter 1. And the prophet is taking us to God's courtroom, the tribunal of God, the table of negotiation of God, the conference room of God. So the prophet is inviting us, inviting you and me, come. Come to the conference room. Are you ready to have a look at your criminal record? Do you know? I'm saying this in the kindest way. Do you know that you are a criminal? I'm a criminal. Look at us. So handsome people, beautiful people. But we are criminals. And if you are still without the Lord Jesus Christ, oh, my dear friend, the verdict is not a guess matter. Nobody needs to guess it. Guilty. Guilty. Condemned. That's the verdict. But I don't want to be gloomy, because this is a verse of great hope. But my question is, are you ready to face your criminal record? And are you saved? Are your sins forgiven? So here is the cleansing blood, the cleansing blood of the Savior, the sin bearer, the Lord Jesus Christ, about whom Isaiah prophesied, as I said, 700 years before the Lord Jesus Christ came into this world. Even the fact that Christ will be called Emmanuel, we got it from Isaiah. Even the fact that Christ will be born from a virgin in Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14, we get it from the prophet Isaiah. Are your sins forgiven? You heard me saying this probably. I think I will repeat this till the end of my life. There is no greater joy. There is no greater joy than to leave this house today, knowing that all your sins are forgiven. The scandalous sins, the hideous sins, the open sins, the secret sins, the hideous sins, all washed by the blood of Jesus Christ. But I have a number of headings. As I keep telling you, my dear friends, keep it simple. A child should remember whatever I said about the gospel in the church. So number one, look at the kind invitation, the gracious invitation, the most gracious invitation. And that great invitation and gracious invitation is given to us by God himself. Do you see the verse? Come now. Who is speaking? It is God, saith the Lord. It is God who is speaking. It is not the prophet's opinion. It is not the prophet's imagination. The prophet didn't just stand up one day and said, oh, it's nice, it's nice. It will be a great revelation, unusual, just to throw unto them an invitation. No, he speaks on behalf of God directly, verbatim. Verbatim, he's speaking on behalf of God. And you see again, he summons us. It is a command. It is not a suggestion. You know, I'm sure you heard it. Preachers are telling you that week after week. God makes no suggestions. He only gives commands. Only commands. So he summons us and he takes the initiative. He breaks the silence. Oh, that's amazing. God breaks the silence. We were silent. We were condemned. We couldn't talk. And here is God coming to us by breaking the silence. And he does it instead of wiping us out from the surface of the earth. That is what God should have done, really, for you and me. But yet he gives us this wonderful invitation. You know, when I look at it even now, for me, it is as if God is speaking to us like a father, a good father. Come, come, my son. Come, my daughter. Don't you want to speak to me? What have I done to you today? Don't you want to enter into eternity? You see, there is a gracious atmosphere in the verse. Nothing to rebuke you or to repel you, but it's all about God embracing, opening widely his hand. I often think about it. You know, the cross of Calvary, the Lord Jesus Christ didn't die on that cross hands down. You know, if he had his hands down, then it means we are not all invited. But even on that cross, he died, his hands wide open for the nails. And the nails were put in his hands there. And it is as if those hands wide open there, it is as if he's inviting the whole world. There is room. You can come. You can come and have your sins forgiven. My dear friends, God is willing, instead of taking you into his tribunal, into his court and to incriminate you, to charge you. He is willing to invite you to come and sit at his table and to present your case. If God is asking you this morning, come, present your case. Tell me why I should save you. Tell me why I should take you into heaven. What will you bring on the plate? Your slate is full of incriminations and accusations. My dear friend, will you trash away this invitation? Will you throw it away? Will you bin it as if you have never heard anything? Like a father saying, my son, I love you. My daughter, I love you. Oh, God is inviting us. He could have simply said, you know, God could have simply said about you this morning, you are guilty. Get away from my face. But no, God doesn't act or react in that way. But instead, he says, look at that word. That word should be the most precious word in the Bible. The word come. And if you take a concordance, I believe you shall find it more than 600 times in the Bible. Come, come. And the text even says, come now. But we'll come to it in a moment. Come now. It is urgent. You have delayed it too often. You have postponed it too often. The procrastination is too much. God says, come, let us settle our difference. Let us bring the dispute to an end. Speak up. Speak up, God is telling us. Let me hear your side of the story. I want to hear your side of the story. But this is all grace. My dear friends, before I explain more, I want to reason with you. Are you a reasonable person? Do you wish to hear some reasoning argument for your soul's sake? Oh, God is reasonable. And he's telling us, come, let us find a solution to your problem. You know, the world says, come, I give you a solution to your problem, but to kill you. The world says, come, have this fix, have this drug, have this drink. But the world never show you the gutter. The world will never show you the putrefaction, the putridity of your sins. The world will never show you that. But look, my dear friends, why we need to come to God. I want to give you arguments why you need to come to God. And I don't invent anything. If you have your Bibles open, just here in Isaiah chapter 1, I want to show you several reasons why God is trying to reason with the people and with you and me this morning. Number one, look at verse 2. Verse 2, first reasoning. God is inviting whom? Heaven and earth. Heaven and earth. The whole nature. He's inviting every creation to come and listen, to listen to what we have done wrong. You know, nature, even nature is groaning. We read in Romans chapter 8. It's not just we human beings that want this world to be better. It's interesting. When you look at trees, the forest, the fauna, the flora, the mountains, the rivers, the animals, you know what is happening? It is as they are all groaning. God makes this world to be better. Jesus Christ, come back to this world. When Jesus Christ comes back to this world, there will be a rejuvenation of everything. New heaven, new earth. It is as if heaven will descend and earth will go up and the two will mix together in harmony. And here Isaiah is telling us, speaking on behalf of God, that the whole earth, heaven and earth, will speak against you that you have done wrong. Nature is witnessing against you, telling us how much we are guilty. After all this loving care, God cares for us. He created us. He provides for us. He gives us air. He gives us oxygen. He gives us food. He gives us rain. He gives us the sun. He gives us the moon. He gives us the stars, the galaxies. He gives us family. He gives us friendship. He gives us education. Oh, countless, numerous things we gain freely from God, but yet we have rebelled ourselves against God. I don't think you could sleep well knowing that you are a rebel against God. I don't think so. Nobody will convince me to believe in that while you have rebelled against your creator. And you can sleep well? No way. No way. But look at the second reasoning. I'm just giving you, touching, scratching on the things. You can read them for yourself later. Look at verse 3 and 4. Oh, this should shame us. This should shame us. And I have seen it. I have seen it with horses. I have seen it with donkeys. I have seen it with cats. I have seen it with dogs. I have seen it with pets. Even a pet knows who's his master. And you can see, if you have a pet at home, as soon as the pet hears the keys at the door, the pet runs to the door. And I have seen some. It is as if they are so happy. They will be jumping up and down because they see their master coming or their owner. You see what? Oh, my dear friend, will a dumb animal put you to shame? Even the animal knows who feeds him. I have seen that with my eyes with donkeys. The stubborn mule knows who is his master. But we created millions, trillions, billions times superior than animals. We spurn our creator and we do and act and live as we. There is no creator before whom one day we shall stand to give account. You know, I told you many times, my dear friends, the non-believer, the atheist, who says there is no God. You know why he says there is no God? One reason among many, he doesn't want to be accountable to any. I just live as I want. Look at even homosexuality, just to give you an example. A man living with a man means what? I love myself so much that I want only to live with somebody like me. What a disaster. But you see, the stubborn animal knows his master, and he will never cut the hand that feeds him. But we cut the hand of God who feeds us. But look at the third reason. Verse 5. Look at verse 5, the third reason. And God says there in verse 5, why would you be stricken? And let me put it in simple words. Why would you die? Why do you want to die? Why do you want to go to hell? Why do you want God to judge you and send you to a place where there is only teeth gnashing and weeping? Oh, my dear friends, look at the verse. Why would you waste your life? And you read verse 5, we read there that the whole head is sick and the heart faint. So if you continue your reading, you will find that from head to toe, we are sick from every department. Every faculty of man without God is sick. That is why, my dear friends, I hope nobody is offended to hear when we tell you, you are not good. I'm not good. No one is good. Only God is good. Only God is good. Sick. The gangrene you know, the gangrene, the cancer of sin has taken place, and no medicine will help you. There is no chemo for that. Only God can help. And I'm sure you know, look, verse 5 there, it seems the wounds are still open, wide open, stinky. The worms, and I have seen that with wounds. You know, we used to take people as a compassionate ministry. We take them, the wounds are open. Believe me, you can see the worms walking in the wound. And we take them to the doctor. And those people later, they come and they are so grateful because all the medication used, they couldn't afford it. But this is us spiritually. I hope you see this is pictural language. The imagery are given to us about our spiritual state. That's you and me without Christ. But let me give you another one. It's all as we have spoken now. It is as if it was physical. But look at in verse 11 to 16. I won't read the verses for time's sake. But now it comes to the religious aspect. Religious aspect. You know, in religion, we give worship to God that God hates. And look at verse 15. It says there that our hands are full of blood. It's spiritual language. Of course, there is no literal blood on your hands, but you killed with your heart. You killed with your mind. And God sees it all. God sees it all. Our worship and religion is disgusting. Verse 11, 12, 13, and so on. We must turn away, my dear friends, from our vain offerings, because God is not after bells, smells, candles, or anything, pomp, ritual, ceremonies. God is not after that. You look at all religions in this world. It's about bells, smells, ritual ceremonies, pomp, and so on. That is why God is spirit. He is worshipped in spirit and truth. You have nothing to do because salvation is by grace. Oh, my dear friends, may I be positive as we come, we draw to conclusion, because we must repent from our sins, but we have failed. We have failed to repent. And actually, it is interesting that no human solution could ever wash your sins away. Now, my second heading after the gracious invitation is to look at God's solution, the remedy. The treatment is at hand. The treatment is available. The solution is given to us, not by the pharmacy, not by any chemistry, not by any philosophy, not by any opinion or speculation, but by God himself. And we read here, you see the situation in verse 18, the remedy. This is the antidote that will change your life to set you free before God. Though your sins be, and it is mentioned twice, just to show you the emphasis and the double power upon your, the double power of sin upon your life. You see, the trouble is in though your sins, plural. Our trouble is sin. God doesn't just treat the symptoms. You know, that's why many sicknesses are not healed, because people are only treating the symptoms, the surface. But God goes to the deep roots where the gangrene has started. That's where the cavity there. And he treats the matter. He treats the problem. It is interesting that two pictures are given to us here. Look at them. The first one, if your sins be like scarlet. Scarlet is a deep dye. You know, scarlet or crimson are the two main colors. Deep blue, deep red. That's the only two colors known then at that time. Later, of course, with all the fabrics and the threads, colors have multiplied and multiplied, but these were the two main indelible colors that were available. And actually, they come from insects. Insects. And deep dye, deep red, and deep blue. It was very hard to get rid of the dye of scarlet. It was very hard. That is why I quote you the verse. You can read it for yourself later. It's in Jeremiah chapter 2, verse 22. Even if you use nitre and soap, that will never wash away your sins, God says. Nothing. And when you look at scarlet and crimson, this is again a picture about sin. Sin sticks. Sin is permanent. Sin is indelible, like ink. It doesn't happen, I think, in our nation here, but in many third world countries, when there are elections, when you vote at the poll there, when you are going out after you have voted, you have to put your finger in an indelible ink so you cannot come back again to vote. So this is what is happening. Our sin is permanent in us. And it stays so long, for a long time. Sin cannot be removed by human detergents. No bleach can remove your sins. Only God can. Oh, we may try different solutions or remedies, but how can they be cleansed? I tried all solutions. May I give you the solution? Jesus Christ, the second person of the Godhead, God of the very God, the God-man, came from heaven to earth, and he came to die on the cross of Calvary, to pour there his blood, because he was able and he was powerful to give cleansing, to wash a sinner from his sins. Oh, my dear friends, we are so unclean, so impure. When you see somebody boasting, and I met many, 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 me including, I don't set myself apart. We are all proud people. You know, we think that we can do things by ourselves. But it is just impossible. Until Christ crushes us down, we bow down the knees, and we trust in the Savior. Oh, only Christ is able. The dirty, stinky, stinky garment is totally purified by the blood of Jesus Christ. The superpower blood of Jesus Christ. No other blood is comparable to his blood. And he gives complete and absolute pardon. So sin is like scarlet and crimson, but Jesus Christ is the one who removes it away. Number two, the remedy comes as a promise and as a miracle. Look at it again. It says that if you come to the Lord Jesus Christ, though your sins be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Though they be like as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. I come from a culture or a nation where people have never seen snow. Actually, there is a song. We translated that song because people don't know anything about snow. And that verse goes like this. You believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, he shall cleanse you and remove your sins, and you shall become whiter than goat's milk. Goat's milk. Because the people, they have never seen one. But here, I'm speaking to people who are born in the snow. They have seen it many times. Snow speaks about high purity. High purity. That's what God does with our sins when we trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. If you come to him, he will make your red heart sinful heart and make it to be whiter than snow. That's why I read Psalm 51. David there is praying in his prayer. He said to God to make him to forgive his sins and to make him to be not just white as snow, but to make him to be whiter than snow. Miracle. Whiter than snow. Wash me. That's your prayer. The blood of Jesus Christ shed on the cross of Calvary is the cleansing agent. The cleansing agent. Please allow me to use a childish word here. It is the spiritual bleach to whiten your heart and to cleanse your life. And he does it as a promise to anyone. Though your sins be, God is pure, we are like scarlet and crimson. No sin that God cannot forgive. I close. Thirdly, scarlet, as I said, and crimson are the extremes. That's us. Dye. The dye is so deep in us. Sin sinks to us. It is permanent. And number two, you are made whiter than snow when you trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. In closing, number three, I want to dwell just on that word, come again. Come means believe. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Of course, when God says, come and let us reason, we are not coming to God as equals. Let nobody misunderstand me. We don't come to God as equals. We come to him, my dear friends, as beggars in need. Oh, Lord, I played the fool. I played the fool. I thought I knew it all. But I'm like scarlet. I'm like crimson. But, Lord, make me to be white as snow. Make me to be white as the wool. In some countries, they will say as cotton. So come to him. It's all my fault, Lord. Nothing I can bring on the table, nothing, no alibi, no excuse I can give when it comes to my sins. And the only alibi I can bring is my culpability. I'm guilty, Lord. Lord, I believe in thee. Help me to understand these things. To believe is the most reasonable thing to do. Come now, the text says, not later. Come now, right now. It is urgent. Hurry up. Run to him. Come unto me, the Lord Jesus Christ said in Matthew 11, verse 28. In Isaiah 42, there, Isaiah speaks and he said, look unto me, God said, look unto me, and thou shalt be saved. So we look to the Lord Jesus Christ. He died on that cross. He suffered for our sins by giving his life. Oh, thank God. Aren't you happy that you don't have to live in dirt? You know, people who live in a slum, the dirt they live in there. Aren't you happy that you are not living in hoarding, surrounded by dirt and garbage? But you trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, you are removed, you are saved from that. What is the color of your heart? What is the color of your heart? Is it like snow? Or is it like scarlet? Oh, think of what Christ has done for sinners. What a transformation. Red like crimson, I become white like snow. Come, reason, believe, and receive. Oh, may the Lord help you to have a small glimpse, just a small glimpse of your sins. If you see your sins as God sees them, you will come to him, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and your life will never be the same again.